This is Focus West Michigan for Wednesday, September 7, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. Kent County is releasing its first ever childhood obesity report. WGVU's David Limbaugh shares some of the report's findings.
What we're hoping to do is to inform and uplift the efforts that people in the community are already doing.
Jonathan Fuller is a public health educator at the Kent County Health Department. He says the childhood obesity surveillance report is based on a six-year study that includes data from CoreWell Health Well Child visits.
So one of the things that stood out and made us want to look at this a little bit closer is that there wasn't any local data that was already available.
One of the key findings is that 40% of Kent County children aged 4 to 17 years are considered overweight or obese. That's higher than the statewide average of 32.6% and the national average of 31.3%.
But within that obese category, 86% of those kids were in obesity class 1. So they're just over the line from overweight to obese. So that, to me, gives a real opportunity for us to turn the tide with some of this.
Fuller says next steps for the county include continuing to study the problem, encouraging communities to support healthy eating and exercise, and supporting best practices. You can read the full report on Kent County's website. I'm David Limbaugh.
Mel Trotter Ministries cut the ribbon on West Michigan's newest thrift store on Wednesday in Caledonia. WGVU's Dee Morrison has more.
These are some of the nicest donations. The furniture in the store is much nicer than the stuff at my house.
That's Mel Trotter Ministries CEO Chris Polusky celebrating the organization's 8th West Michigan retail store. Proceeds support services for people experiencing hunger or homelessness, including its main shelter, recovery programs, transitional housing, and job training. Polusky says the benefits are beyond financial.
It's a way for people to get involved. They can donate their goods, they can come shopping, we've got quality things, so we offer good prices.
The new retail and donation center is located on Cherry Valley Avenue in the former Rite Aid drugstore in Caledonia, a location Polusky says was a two-year search.
It's not a desert for thrift stores, but there is a market for thrift stores. Also, the church community out here is just wonderful. People have been coming out and supporting the mission of Mel Trotter and also getting a good deal at the same time.
Caledonia Area Chamber of Commerce Executive Director Shannon Richardson agrees the store represents the community's values.
What's great is they've gotten a lot of community involvement. People are dropping off a lot of things, a lot of nice things, and really seem to want to help move the mission forward.
The Caledonia Thrift Store is open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 9. I'm Dee Morrison.
Following a busy holiday season, the American Red Cross says it's teetering on a blood shortage this winter. WGVU's Jennifer Moss has more.
The Red Cross blood supply is under pressure following winter weather and a busy holiday season. Officials say this could lead to a disruption in life-saving care, and with that, donors are now urged to make an appointment. The issues at hand are making it even tougher to ensure hospitals have the blood products needed for critical care. Without immediate action, officials say doctors may have to make difficult decisions about which patients receive blood transfusions and who will need to wait. Donors with types O, A negative, and B negative blood are especially needed. There's also an incentive. Donors can give blood at Red Cross blood drives or Red Cross blood donation centers throughout the state for a chance to win Super Bowl tickets. Red Cross officials say there are three ways to make an appointment. You can use the Red Cross blood donor app, call 1-800-RED-CROSS, or visit their website at redcrossblood.org. I'm Jennifer Moss.
Some members of the West Michigan Venezuelan community are sharing an open letter to the public, giving their perspective on the U.S. capturing Venezuelan leader Nicolas Maduro and the current political crisis. WGVU's Patrick Center has more.
Sounds like the Americans, they don't understand what's going on inside the country for 27 years.
Born in Venezuela, Pastor Jose Duran now lives in Holland, Michigan, working as the president of Movimiento de Ciudad and director of Latino Networks for the City Leaders Collective. He wrote the public letter, now disseminating across social media, representing a group of 40 Venezuelan business and community leaders in West Michigan.
All the protesting people are from other places, especially Americans, but no one of them are from Venezuela. So we decided they need to hear from Venezuela people.
Duran says many protesters don't understand the reality of living under the regime, asserting Maduro stole the presidency by force and leads an international drug trafficking organization. The letter states Venezuelan people would prefer to partner with Americans, rebuilding their economy and restoring prosperity, addressing claims the U.S. is only interested in the country's oil.
Well, just tell those people that right now, for 27 years, China, Russia, Iran, Hamas, Hezbollah are taking the oil they're using for the benefits.
Duran notes 8 million people have fled the country, framing the struggle as a human dignity issue rather than a partisan one. I'm Patrick Center.
Coming up soon, another edition of our Cranes Grand Rapids Business Brief, but first, news from around the state. Michigan's Republican Senate Minority Leader is asking for an investigation into the state's Child Development and Care Program. Colin Jackson has more.
The program helps low-income families pay for child care through scholarships. It also provides grants to the child care providers who serve those kids. The current state budget puts more than $500 million in a mix of federal and state funding toward the program. In other states, similar efforts have come under fire after conservative influencers seized upon allegations of fraud in Minnesota. In asking for an audit of Michigan's program, Republican Senate Minority Leader Eric Nesbitt cited reports of, quote, large-scale fraud related to child care subsidies in other states. The State Department in charge of the program says it already faces regular oversight and has zero tolerance for fraud. I'm Colin Jackson.
Michigan's combined jobless rate for October and November is 5%, which is a slight drop from September. We have more from Rick Pluta.
The 0.1 percentage point decrease would seem to be pretty good news, since 5% is still considered low in employment. But the picture is complicated. The rate is above the national average. Two separate surveys that make up the report show a small increase in employment, but that's offset by an even larger number of people exiting the workforce, says Michigan Labor Market Information Director Wayne Rourke.
The truth is probably somewhere in the middle from these surveys, and the middle is pretty flat growth for the state over the long term here.
Rourke says people aging out of the workforce is certainly a contributing factor. The report is missing 1 month's data due to the federal government shutdown in October, which also delayed the survey. The next jobs report for December will come out later this month. I'm Rick Pluta.
Michigan's water supply may soon have to deal with increasing demand from data centers. The State Department of Environment, Great Lakes, and Energy says aging infrastructure is facing a lack of long-term funding, complications from climate change, and rising costs for maintenance. Russell Whipple is the mayor of Mason, a city just south of Lansing. He says his city is working on creating limits for the amount of water data centers can use. He says local residents are concerned data centers will contaminate their water, but Whipple says these concerns are misplaced.
We've got plans in place, and we're proactive and getting ahead of the curve on understanding the impacts of certain connections and also the capacity issues that we might run into.
Eagle says data centers will be inspected to make sure they're in compliance with environmental laws. Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support this show and everything we do here, visit wgvunews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. Today in our Cranes Grand Rapids Business Brief, WGVU's Patrick Center talks with Cranes staff writer Mark Sanchez about Priority Health's expansion into a fourth Midwestern state, a look at regional business and manufacturing conditions heading into 2026, and we begin with an update on Grand Rapids Riverfront projects.
It's that time of year where we kind of look forward to what's ahead in the new year. Instead of looking backward, we tend to look forward. And one of the stories we did here in the last few days was by my co-worker here at Cranes Grand Rapids Business, Kate Carlson, looking at what are the major developments going on in and around Grand Rapids. And of course, you have the big project with the waterfront transformations. You have the Amway Stadium, the soccer stadium going up. And, you know, the last month we've seen that steelwork going up along the southbound lanes of US 131. And then a little bit south, you see the Acrisure Amphitheater coming along, and that's going to open here this spring with the first concert. But also here just before the holiday, you had a major movement on these projects along the waterfront. These three towers that DeVos and Van Andel families have proposed. And it's a big, big project, $796 million Fulton and Market project along the Grand River. And just before the holiday, it got some state tax incentives that will allow the developers to move forward and advance the conversations. And then, of course, you know, the two projects, the amphitheater, the Riverfront Stadium, and those are going forward. And then if you look around the region, you see other projects going up. You have down in Kalamazoo, a $515 million Kalamazoo Event Center that's under construction down there by Cadillac Development Company. And then elsewhere, you see this residence at 111 Lyon, that project proceeding to convert that office building into residential units. So there's a lot of activity going on. And the other one I'll mention is the old Shaw Walker furniture factory near downtown Muskegon. It's just under 75,000 square foot, and it's been vacant for years. And Gafari Associates is the designer in that, and Parkland Properties, the developer. It's a $213 million project. So that could be done by in about a year. And it'll be nice to really see that property back up and operating and put to good use and really help maybe spur some more investment in and around downtown Muskegon. So those are just a few of the projects that are coming and are ongoing, and you'll see really advance in 2026.
Yeah, you also have the West Michigan Hispanic Chamber headquarters that's being constructed, the Kent County Administration Building, that expansion of the campus over there on Fuller. So yeah, there's a lot that's taking place, and I'm sure there will be plenty more to come in the new year. Also in the new year, we have all the forecasts. What are we looking forward to when it comes to business and manufacturing in West Michigan?
Yeah, again, that time of year, people wonder what's the new year going to bring. You know, economically, a lot of the outlooks are saying probably a little more of the same for 2026 that we saw in 2025. But if you're a manufacturer, obviously you're dealing with tariffs, the uncertainty that tariffs created. Remember last spring when the president started rolling out these tariffs, it caused a lot of disruption, a lot of uncertainty. Manufacturers had to scramble, especially if you've got a foreign supply chain, a global supply chain. So you had to start adjusting your business plan. A lot of that has come through, but there's still some uncertainty on what's going to happen with tariffs in 2026, what's going to happen with this trade agreement with the U.S., Mexico, and Canada. And we'll see. The auto industry, and we have a lot of auto suppliers here in this region, the auto industry is going to be a little softer. Some of the projections are for still a decent year, but the number of auto sales and production in North America is projected to decrease a little bit. So that's just some of the groundwork that we have right now going here through the early days of 2026. The University of Michigan outlook that came out maybe about a month and a half ago has about a 2.4% real GDP for the U.S. in 2026. That's actually an uptick from about 2% expansion in 2025. So the economy is going to, if you believe the outlooks, the forecast, the economy is going to plug along. It's just, again, what's going to happen with some of the uncertainties out there that could affect things.
You mentioned in your article about the auto forecast and, of course, signs of softening. You also have a section that you title The Talent Equation. Can you dive a little deeper into that?
Absolutely. You know, coming out of the situation 5 years ago, everybody navigated through with the pandemic, and talent was already an issue going into that 5 years ago. Coming out of it, that worsened. Then we had the work from home and then hybrid models. And what you saw for a couple of years, maybe two, three or more years, was what's called, the talent hoarding, where companies were kind of reluctant, if things got a little soft, to trim their staff because you didn't want to lose that talent. Now, that may not be the case anymore, as the economy is, again, plugging along, doing okay. We're seeing more layoffs. We saw more in 2025 than we did in the previous few years. So what's that the sign that the employers, that idea of talent hoarding might be coming to an end, that they're going to be a little quicker to pull that trigger now when they need to make some adjustments in their workforce?
We're talking with Crane's Grand Rapids Business staff writer Mark Sanchez. You're also taking a look at some deals that have taken place. Priority Health has completed a deal in Wisconsin, and it looks as though we're seeing that regional growth.
Yeah, this was a deal announced back in August. Priority Health, the big health plan, the second largest health plan here in Michigan, was becoming the sole governing member of a cooperative known as the Group Health Cooperative of Eau Claire, if I pronounce that properly, Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Got about 61,000 members in central and western Wisconsin. And this deal closed January 1. It was finalized. Priority Health now owns this Wisconsin health plan. And what this does is really extend Priority Health into a fourth state. A couple of years ago, Priority Health made a deal down in Indiana, buying a health plan down there that does business in Indiana and Ohio. That expanded Priority Health's footprint. And now we've seen this deal come to a close and finalized in Wisconsin. That brings Priority Health as homegrown Grand Rapids-based health plan has now expanded into a fourth state. And when I spoke with Dick Gates, the president there, he just said, we just want to extend our products and services to as many people as possible. And it creates expansion and some scale for Priority Health that can better optimize those costs. And who knows, maybe being a little bit of a better cost structure to the health plans out there.
Through that conversation, do you see a growth formula beyond Wisconsin? Is there a bigger growth plan?
Yeah, that's a question I asked Nick Gates when we spoke the other day. And he said, basically, there's not a plan. There's no active conversations. They're not actively seeking to make another acquisition. However, in most cases, and this is really typical when you talk to CEOs about M&A after they do a deal, they said, we're not actively looking for another deal. However, if an opportunity comes along, if the right opportunity arises, that's a cultural fit, that's a business fit, we'll look at it. So bottom line, they don't necessarily have an appetite for doing more acquisitions at Priority Health, but you never know what the future will bring. Any CEO, any director will tell you, boy, if a good opportunity arises, we'll take a look at it. Doesn't mean they'll do it, but I always say conversations are free, and they'll at least have a conversation if they see the right opportunity that aligns with what they do.
Crane's Grand Rapids Business Staff Writer, Mark Sanchez. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Patrick.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Wednesday, January 7, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Bierling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan tomorrow. Thanks for listening.